Oh, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back.
This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast as we are full steam ahead. Week number 5 of the college football season. A light weekday slate, a hefty Friday slate, which is quite nice. Once again, please subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcast. Let a friend know. Let hundreds of friends know. That's fine with us, too. Every week, we give you 3 new episodes. If you miss it on Sundays, Jonathan Von Tobel, he breaks down as they are being put out there, the instantaneous reaction to the lines that are being revealed, line revealed show each and every Sunday on VSiN at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, and that's in your feed. Thursdays, myself, Tim Murray, and Matt Eumanns will break down the entire card. And then on Tuesday mornings in your feed, myself and Adam Burke take a look back at the week that was, updated power ratings, look down spot or let down spots, all of that. So, Adam, always a pleasure to be hanging out with you. We got a little in-studio action today. We're going to get to your stock report here in just a moment, but biggest takeaway, was there one from the weekend, as you are full Ohio State gear right now for those who can't see, and none of you can see, but looks like the Ohio State offense that we expected has fully arrived.
Yeah, definitely. And not only the passing game, but also they're running the football very effectively. Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson, both over 100 yards in that game against Wisconsin. And yeah, I mean, this is kind of what we expected, right? We didn't expect anybody in the Big Ten to be able to defend this team. And that's what we've seen here thus far. But, you know, hey, I mean, you and I were kind of talking about this a little bit as well, that, you know, Michigan, I don't think they were all that impressive against Maryland, but who's going to test the Wolverines until they play Ohio State? So in that game the weekend after Thanksgiving, that seems like it's definitely going to be for everything in the Big Ten once again.
Yeah, it's trending that way. So, all right, let's get to it each and every week.
Adam's Stock Report.
So every Monday, check out VSiN.com as Adam updates his power ratings. And I like to start positively. I've got a club soda here. I would say this is glass half full. So we'll take a look at Stock Up to start.
Stock Up.
All right, Adam. Kansas, the Jayhawks keep on winning, keep on covering, yet the cowards of the AP poll refused to rank them. There was one, I don't have to get into that. Rankings, as many people know, do not matter when it comes to betting, when it comes to odds makers, when it comes to power ratings. But the Kansas Jayhawks continue to impress. They get the win. They get the cover. They are now 4-0 straight up, 4-0 ATS. So what do you continue to do with them as we move forward onto the season?
Yeah, Kansas 26th, and the others receiving votes, they were number one, 125 votes for them, so, or points for them. So they should be ranked in the top 25 here next week, especially with Wake Forest and Florida State playing each other. Those are 22nd and 23rd.
Well, so it's assuming they beat Iowa State. They're a home dog against the Cyclones.
Yeah, the Cyclones didn't really look all that good last week. I wasn't super impressed with how they've played really throughout the course of the season. I feel like Matt Campbell's doing a solid job there, given that they lost so much from last year. I think that this Kansas train does have a good chance of continuing to roll on, though, and I bumped them up 5.5 points in my power ratings. And again, it's one of those situations where you just have to tip your cap to this team. What Lance Leipold's doing as the head coach, what Jalen Daniels is doing running this offense, you know, they're believing in themselves finally too, you know, and that's something that's really challenging when you talk about updating power ratings. Is teams like UNLV, for example, a team like Kansas, teams that have been bad for a long period of time, you have a hard time realizing that their performance is for real. And it seems like with Kansas, as well as UNLV, that I bumped up 4.5 points, those are two teams where they legitimately look to be significantly better than previous versions.
Yeah. Jalen Daniels' numbers, he's getting legitimate Heisman hype right now. He's completing 71% of his passes. He's thrown just one interception and no interceptions at him against FBS opponents. That lone interception came week one against, who was that, Tennessee Tech or something like that. He's been fantastic. Rushed for over 300 yards. So we'll see if it keeps rolling as Kansas, a home underdog this week. I think I would imagine there'll be a popular dog Moving forward, especially this week. So let's keep it going. You have a couple more teams that you rose in your ratings over 5 points, and you're very patriotic. So you bumped up USA, South Alabama, the Jags, also 5.5 points.
Yeah, you know, in South Alabama, like I talked about on previous shows, this is a team that I felt like I was a little bit higher than the market on coming into the season, bet them 6-1 to win the West Division of the Sun Belt, felt like, you know, this is a team that I have pretty accurately rated. And then week after week, I'm chasing their power rating number. My lines are too low on this team. So I bumped them up 5.5 points here, where now that we're into week 5, a lot of these teams have played a third of the season. It's not a one-off. It's not a two-off. Patterns are starting to emerge. And right now, not only is South Alabama a quality team, but the market is treating them as a very strong team. So I had to make a pretty substantial adjustment with the Jags. And you know, look, I mean, you kind of look at what's going on in the Sun Belt here. Louisiana loses to Louisiana Monroe, you know, and it seems like it's set up for South Alabama, who has that big game here this week.
Yeah, and they were a team, I believe it was BetMGM earlier this week, had South Alabama, I want to say 12-1 to win the Sun Belt. That was a team that certainly had my curiosity, especially when you looked at the Sun Belt West. And you know, I had a good week on the podcast with picks on Thursday's show, but a bet that I did not mention was Louisiana Tech, and I'm very happy I did not mention that one because they got smoked by the team we just talked about, South Alabama. Another team in the Sun Belt West is Arkansas State. The Red Wolves this past weekend, they lost to Old Dominion. They've lost 3 consecutive games. I do believe they've covered all 3 of those games. So is that what has led to the bump up here for the Red Wolves?
Yeah, this is another instance where my lines have just been too low on this team. So I had to make, well, actually they've been too high on this team, I guess I should say, going against this team. So I had to make an adjustment where, you know, when Ohio State played Arkansas State, they came out after the game and they were like, you know, this team's better than we thought they were. They, you know, did well in the transfer portal. They've got some players. And I kind of thought it was just lip service, just sort of, you know, Ohio State wasn't as crisp as they probably wanted to be in that game. So I thought, oh, you know, they're just, you know, kind of giving this team some platitudes, kind of talking them up a little bit, make themselves feel better about, you know, struggling for various parts of that game. But now I see it week after week where Arkansas State is a team that obviously the market has rated higher than I do. So I made that adjustment here, moved them up 5 points. I had them way too big of an underdog when they played Memphis a couple of weeks ago. That should have been the sign for me. It took me a couple of weeks, but now I think I have the Red Wolves in the right spot.
All right, let's go through a couple more teams. Once again, VSiN.com. Check out Adam's full updated power ratings. We're going to get to the teams that took the biggest hit here in just a moment. A team that I bet on last week and was a very popular, it felt like, situational spot was James Madison. And we talked about it last week on the pod. I gave it out on Thursday. App State, you just had to feel like at some point they were going to run out of gas. They led 28-3 against James Madison. And I don't want to take anything away from the Dukes, but it did feel like that gas tank did finally run out for Appalachian State. But what we've seen from the Dukes so far, Adam, 3-0 in their first year in the FCS, their win over Middle Tennessee State by 37 in week one continues to look better and better as the Blue Raiders went down to Miami and smoked the Hurricanes. Todd Centillo, the quarterback, he's a talented dude, can run the ball really well. So what have you done with the James Madison Dukes, now a 3-0 start?
Yeah, another week, another move up on the Dukes. Moved them up 4.5 points here. And there's always a question when a team goes from FCS to FBS because they don't have the same number of available scholarships that FBS programs have. So you worry about depth. You worry about their top-tier talent level. Is it enough to be able to play at the Division 1A level? And for James Madison, clearly the answer is yes, based on what we've seen here so far. And I had to move him again because, you know, I think my line was 11 last week with App State. So that one closes 7. So I had to make the adjustment to James Madison. I think my power rating's fine on App State, who, as you mentioned, I mean, they've basically played an entire season already through their first four games. But I had to move James Madison up again, and I'm actually still a tad bit low. I have their game minus 21 against Texas State. Market's more like 23, but that's a situational spot we can talk about here in a few minutes.
Yeah, I definitely have that certainly pointed out on the situational spots, as we'll hit a little bit later. All right, 2 Power 5 teams that I want to hit on. You won't be surprised by the last one, but this one, Washington State, obviously earlier this season, they go to Madison. They pull off a stunning upset upset over the Badgers. And then this weekend at home, if you had a money line bet on Washington State, my condolences. Thankfully, they did get the cover with a late touchdown. And the right side covered there. If anyone has an Oregon ticket, don't give me any BS about it was a bad beat. It was not a bad beat. You had no business being anywhere close to covering. But what are you doing with this Cougars team? An impressive showing, albeit a loss to Oregon. But Cam Ward putting up big numbers. You know, didn't run a ton. I know he was sacked a couple times. But Washington State does get the loss, but continues to fare pretty well.
Yeah, this is a much better team than I expected. And Cam Ward coming in and playing as well as he has at the quarterback position has definitely helped, because you worried about this team with Jaden Delora transferring to Arizona. You kind of wondered what this group would look like offensively. You sort of wondered, was Jake Dickert the right guy for the job to be the head coach? But so far, through their first four games, they've looked good. And I mean, look, they gave up 29 points in the fourth quarter against Oregon. They had that game in hand. That's a game that they definitely should win. But, you know, sometimes teams do have growing pains, especially with a head coach who hasn't really been in that situation before. But I had to move the Cougars up again. I moved them up 4 points. And, you know, that's a team that I'll be watching very closely here to see if they can sustain this for the long haul, or if this is just sort of, you know, a quick early season peak for them. And then as teams adjust to what they're doing, are they able to maintain this same pace?
All right. Lastly, a team that I don't know if anyone can figure out, because week one, they looked good in a loss to Ohio State. A lot of people upgraded them. Then they lose to Marshall. Then they're life and death with Cal. And then it felt like everybody was fading them. I know a handful of people that I know out there said this was an easy play. I stayed away from it. And Notre Dame comes out and runs the ball right down UNC's throat. So it feels like the Irish are starting to find a little bit of identity with the running game. All three running backs eclipsed 100 yards of total offense. I believe that's the first time they've done that in school history. The offensive line, I saw progress in the second half against Cal, and then they were dominant against UNC. So what do you make of the Irish right now? Because early on in the season, I think some people had them top five after the Ohio State game. Then you had to drastically downgrade them. Where are they trending right now, Adam?
Yeah, they're definitely trending up for me. I mean, they're still just outside of my top 25 in my power ratings. They're about a point and a half out. But I did move them up 3.5 points this week. And as I was making that adjustment and going through their box score, I was thinking about what you said about how you felt like in the second half of that previous game, they started to figure some things out. The offensive line was kind of pushing people around again. And then they come out and played, you know, pretty well for the most part against North Carolina there. And it's one of those things that's really challenging early on in the year when you have a team that has pretty high expectations. I don't think anyone expected them to be a playoff team or anything like that, but they were power rated as a top 15 team for me to come out and look like they did early in the year. Maybe I overreacted a little bit. Maybe I didn't exercise patience. But at the same time, there are a lot of teams that have been very Jekyll and Hyde throughout the course of the season here so far. And you talk about that win for James Madison over Middle Tennessee, how that keeps improving. The loss to Marshall looks worse with each passing week. But, you know, from the eye test and also from how the market is rating Notre Dame, I had to move them up, and I'll probably end up having to move them up again coming up after this week.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the line will be in 2 weeks. Notre Dame's off this week when they play BYU here in Las Vegas. So there's a take a look at some of the teams, the biggest risers. You mentioned UNLV, too. You upgraded them 4.5 points. So from the positive to the negative, we head to Stock Down.
Stock Down.
All right, Adam, a team that you have moved down a full touchdown, and I believe the text you gave me earlier over the weekend was, you know, maybe Michigan State isn't that good. And you're looking at the market right now, and the market's agreeing Maryland, folks, is a touchdown favorite over Michigan State. Now, Maryland, of course, covered over the weekend against Michigan. But what have you done to the Fighting Mel Tuckers in your power ratings?
Yeah, Sparty took that big dive. They went down 7 points for me. And you know, look, I talked about it on last week's show, even 2 weeks ago when we talked about the game against Washington. I had Michigan State a road favorite in that game. The market very clearly disagreed with me, and the market was very right in that regard. Last week, I mean, look, maybe Minnesota's a really good team. I don't know. I guess there's a possibility that they're a really good team. 508 to 240 in yards, 240 to 38 in rushing yards. So Michigan State is a shell of the team that we saw last season. It's more than just missing Kenneth Walker. Peyton Thorne got benched in this game. They had three turnovers, only the ball for 17 and a half minutes. It's just a bad, bad performance for Michigan State, and that's become a pattern now. You know, I mean, you blow out Akron, that is what it is. Akron's just awful. Western Michigan is a team that I also dropped a bunch in my power ratings, as we'll get to in a second. Their two games against real teams, they've largely been not competitive. So had to move them down. And the nice thing is I have them a 7-point dog against Maryland this week. So it seems like maybe I've finally caught up with Michigan State.
Yeah, Michigan State, I can't remember what the number is or was off the top of my head, but there was a point in this game, I think they were being outgained like 300 to negative one or something like that. I mean, it was ugly. It was really ugly. And think about Minnesota, you know, they were able to run the ball, as you mentioned, with relative ease. They lost their leading receiver this week, and they still didn't skip a beat. So the Gophers are a team to keep an eye on, certainly, when you look at the Big Ten West. And you know, is it all systems go for a showdown against Wisconsin at Camp Randall on Thanksgiving weekend for who comes out of the Big Ten West? We will see. Iowa certainly will want to be a part of that discussion as they play Michigan this week. Well, sticking in the state of Michigan, Michigan State down 7 points. You mentioned the fighting Western Michigan former PJ Flex former squad was out in San Jose late night game, and they got run in San Jose in the Bay Area. So the Broncos down 6 for you heading into this week.
Yeah, I mean, look, being an Ohio State fan, I don't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan. So I guess it makes sense that, you know, I got two big Michigan drops here this week. But Western Michigan, and they weren't getting very good quarterback play from Jack Salapek anyway, but he didn't even play in last week's game. And I think that's why that line kind of ran out a little bit. I had it San Jose State -1. Line closed all the way out at 7 or even higher in some places, I believe. So I made a significant adjustment to Western Michigan. I dropped them down 6 points. Western Michigan is a team, and I have probably 5 to 10 teams year in and year out where I just don't have a good pulse on them. It doesn't matter what happened the season before. It doesn't matter what's happening that season. There are teams that I just don't accurately rate year in and year out, and Western Michigan feels like one of them. And I think part of it is because they were so good during the Fleck years. You know, they've had some pretty good quarterbacks come through there. They don't have the good quarterbacks this year. So I made a big drop with them, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's not the last time I drop them this season.
Well, I'm looking forward to you betting New Hampshire this weekend when they go to Kalamazoo to take on Western Michigan. All right, a team another team. You know, we mentioned Notre Dame, the preseason hype that they got. A lot of hype for Miami. And Mario Cristobal, is he the right guy? He seems like it. He's recruiting really well. This wasn't a fluke on Saturday. They got run by Middle Tennessee State, and certainly alarming. You mentioned benching of quarterbacks. Tyler Van Dyke was sent to the bench in this game, and this is a game that, you know, honestly, it wasn't on one of my screens, but you kept seeing the score just pop up, the highlights pop up, and you know, you can't convert on a fourth and goal from the one, and what, the next play, they give up a 99-yard strike. So it was ugly down there in Coral Gables. So what did you do with the Hurricanes?
Yeah, I dropped the Hurricanes 5.5 points here. And frankly, I don't know if that's enough. This is a team I was really high on coming into the year. And again, one of the arguments that you have with yourself when you're doing this power ratings process is digging in with your priors, digging in with all of your offseason research, all the work that you've done, but then also trying to find the balance with what's happening right in front of you. And I know, I remember Sean King tweeted, you know, like about how bad Tyler Van Dyke looks, about how much he's regressed so far this season. I didn't anticipate that because I thought Josh Gattis did a hell of a job with Michigan last year. Hard for me to compliment Michigan, but that's how good he was with that job there with the Wolverines. And we're not seeing it here with Miami. They have issues again defensively, which is something that the U seems to have year in and year out at this point. But I mean, Middle Tennessee, a 71-yard touchdown pass, a 69-yard touchdown pass, and then the 98-yard touchdown pass.
16 passes by Chase Cunningham were completed for 408 yards.
Yeah.
It's out of control.
And we're not talking about, you know, an Ohio State that just has athletes all over the field. Yeah. We're talking about Middle Tennessee against Miami. And not to take anything away from the boys from Murfreesboro, but that can't happen when you're Miami. So I dropped them 5.5. And again, that may not be enough if this continues to be a sinking ship here, particularly with Van Dyke, because now you wonder how quickly does he adjust back into being the top guy for this team?
Rick Stockstill, a former Florida State, was it quarterback back in his day? gives Middle Tennessee their first ever win, I believe, over a Power Five opponent or top 25.
Top 25.
Yeah. And shout out. Well done, Middle Tennessee.
I feel like we may talk about them again here in a few minutes.
That might be mentioned a little bit later on. All right, final team.
One thing I want to mention really quickly. There were some quarterback injuries that popped up very late this past week. I don't think anyone really expected Aiden O'Connell to be out.
Yep.
But then that was one that kind of showed up.
Snuck past Florida Atlantic.
Davis Brin for Tulsa. He got hurt. I think he's kind of been dealing with something anyway, but he got hurt in that game last week against Ole Miss. And by the way, Tulsa played really well against Ole Miss last week. Maybe I should have given them a little bit more respect.
Big bet regret for me was not playing Tulsa. Clear look ahead spot for Ole Miss taking on Kentucky this week. So I had it on the list. I think we might even mention it, but I did not bet it. So frustrated that I did not pull the trigger on that one.
But if Davis Brin is out, I dropped Tulsa 6 points. I know the backup did some decent things, and obviously they played very well defensively in the second half down there in Oxford. But if Brin's out, I would drop Tulsa 6 points. And for Aiden O'Connell, if he's out, he's probably about a 6 point adjustment as well, especially with how much Purdue wants to throw the football.
All right. Two more, and we'll stick in a Power Five. Boston College, man. Whoa. What is happening? And, you know, Florida State is certainly is much better and back in the top 25. And Jordan Travis, great to see him back on the field there for the Seminoles. But wow. Absolutely run off the field, down 31-0 at halftime. Phil Jurkovec came back this season. The offensive line has been absolutely decimated. You know, you heard about Zay Flowers, their big-time receiver, saying how much he was offered, you know, potentially transfer. He sticks around, and yikes. I don't know what to do with Boston College.
Yeah, I dropped them 4 points. That's about the only thing I can do at this point in time is move that team down. And you know, I think that's something else that's a really important thing to keep in mind. As you mentioned, 31-0 at halftime. I look a lot at what the halftime score was, because teams will make their adjustments in the second half where there's garbage time or something like that. But what did that game look like when the second quarter was over? And that's one where Florida State, with a banged up, no less, Jordan Travis, went out there and just did whatever they wanted. And that's a bad look for a Boston College team that, frankly, I thought played really well last season under Jeff Hafley, but we're not seeing it here this year at all.
Yeah, I'm stunned. And we had heard about the injuries on the offensive line. They were down 37-0 early in the third quarter against Florida State. They were absolutely hammered in that game. Final one, Georgia. People, you know, were interested about taking Kent State. They've shown well in their two games in their murderer's row of a non-conference, where you play Washington week one, play Oklahoma, where they actually played quite well. And then Kent State, man, they did some things against Georgia. Look, I don't know how much you could put into a game against Kent State and Georgia. I certainly would put more stock in a 49-3 win over Oregon as opposed to a 39-22 win over Kent State. But what did you do with the Bulldogs? Did you adjust them at all after the performance on Saturday?
Yeah, I just dropped them down 1 point. My line was a little bit high in that game. And in fact, my line's a little bit high this week when they take on Missouri. I have that one at 31. I think the market's around 28 or so for that game. So I'm just a little bit high on the Bulldogs. And that'll happen, you know, because a lot of times, again, the first step that I do in adjusting my power ratings is comparing my line to the closing line. And on game day, people will bet Georgia at any number. They'll bet Alabama at any number, stuff like that. So sometimes I probably overinflate some of the top teams as a result. And Georgia, it seems like right now, is a team that I'm doing that with. But then Alabama is one that I'm not, because my line's a little bit lower this week against Arkansas. So, you know, I typically don't do a whole lot with the premier teams anyway, just because you get all the big spreads and those are the most scrutinized lines and all that. But I did drop Georgia just 1 point, and didn't really have anything to do with their performance against Kent State. Just kind of a correction in my own numbers.
All right, Adam, I want to jump into to week five, some games that have moved a lot. But before we do that, also in your article each and every week, you kind of point out the games that you have a big discrepancy on. And not often do you get the premier matchup having this big of a discrepancy. So Clemson and NC State are playing. It's a top 10 matchup. This game is at Clemson. Clemson needing double overtime to beat Wake Forest 51-45. I was pretty disappointed by the performance of the defense. Very encouraged and impressed by Wake Forest. But you do have a pretty big discrepancy in the line, because as of right now, as we are sitting here on, you know, a Monday afternoon, it's pretty much 6.5 across the board. Some sevens out there in favor of Clemson. But what is your line on Clemson NC State?
Yeah, I actually have this game lined at 12, which is definitely high, and it's a signal to me that I'm going to have to make an adjustment on one or both of these teams. But NC State, I gotta be honest with you, Tim.
Not impressive.
They've
so
not
far.
Impressed me at all. You
know, should have lost East Carolina.
They are a team that an East Carolina team that just lost to Navy over the weekend, by the way. You know, look, this NC State team, Texas Tech was leaving Texas for the first time. It was the only road game that they've played here so far. They didn't really look all that great in that game either. You know, as you mentioned, they should have lost to East Carolina to open the year. You don't really find out anything about a team against Charleston Southern or UConn. But this NC State team, people were talking about Devin Leary, you know, as a Heisman candidate. They were talking about this team as being the one to dethrone Clemson. And I get it. They're still ranked number 10 in the country. But I mean, for me, I've dropped them in my power ratings a couple of different times. Not overly significant numbers or anything like that, but just kind of a gradual regression of my value on that team. I have them as about tied for the 27th best team in the country right now. I still have Clemson as a top 10 team. And I think the fact that DJ Uiagalelei has looked so much better as the season has gone along kind of gives me a little bit more confidence in the Tigers here. So I think this is one that I'm going to, you know, take a really long look at after the game is played and see if maybe I was just a little bit too high on one team or the other. But I do think if you can find a 6.5, and there still are some out there, I think this one does go to 7 or higher. Although that's a game where we've got the weather consideration where it's likely to be very windy and rainy. So, you know, we'll see. To me, I think that would actually benefit Clemson probably to have the bad weather conditions, but you know, it gets really hard to lay a number when you've got a total that's going to be probably in the 41 or so range when this game goes off.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to some of the line moves. Once again, every Sunday, make sure to check out Jonathan Von Tobel, the Lines Revealed show on VSiN, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. He reacts in live time to the lines being posted at Circa, and then that'll be in this same feed as well. So you look at some of the big line moves. I'm going to get to the totals here in just a moment, because this is an interesting tweet that or text that you had to me about the pending hurricane that is moving up the coast and what the totals have done. But a couple games that have moved considerably. Pitt opened 18. Georgia Tech is now a 23-point favorite. And, you know, Georgia Tech, of course, firing Jeff Collins, firing their AD as well. So a pretty significant move for the Pitt Panthers, laying a big old number against the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, so I was closer to the opener here. I had this one 16, and I have downgraded Pitt a little bit as this season's gone along. But for Georgia Tech, you know, you always wonder about a team. This could be a situational spot in and of itself. You always wonder about a team in that first game after the head coach is gone, because it's done now, right? I mean, this is something that the program expected for probably a while now. It just wasn't working out there with Jeff Collins. It's a similar thing with Nebraska and Scott Frost, right? They knew it was just a matter of time until Scott Frost was going to be let go. So is that dark cloud gone now to the point where Georgia Tech can come out there and just play without that distraction, play without knowing that, you know, this could be the game where we get our coach fired? Or, you know, are they kind of sulking a little bit because that's a guy that, you know, was in their living room saying, hey, come play for me here, you know? So I think it's a really, really tough thing to try and figure out. But the one thing that we do all know is that Georgia Tech has not played well throughout the course of the season. So I don't expect some big reversal here, but I think that at this point in time, it would be Georgia Tech or nothing for me with that line as high as it is.
Well, as an owner of an under 3.5 wins bet for Georgia Tech, I kind of hope that they continue to struggle. No offense to the young men down there in Atlanta. Louisville, we mentioned Boston College already. They opened an 11-point favorite on the road at Boston College, a noon local kick time. It goes all the way to 17, Adam, and now I've seen a little bit of buyback on the Eagles, and it's down to 15.5 at time of record. So overall, a move of 4.5 points for the Cardinals as they head to Chestnut Hill on Saturday.
And this is another one where, you know, my line was 12 on this game, so it's a little bit low for me, even with a pretty significant adjustment to Boston College. I just, What is Louisville? I don't know this team is.
I mean, bet them against Florida State, and then I thought when Rodemaker came in, I thought we're money, and he lit them up and was able to get that win for Florida State on a Friday night.
I mean, thoroughly dominated by Syracuse in that first game. The ugly win over UCF, a UCF team that isn't as good as either one of us expected, and then the Florida State loss. But then South Florida was not in a good spot last week, and we talked about that on the show. You were dead on about your thoughts on that game. Did 41-3 tell us anything about Louisville over South Florida, given that spot? I don't know. So early kickoff here in Chestnut Hill, I don't know if I would really want to lay that big of a number with Louisville, but it's not like I'm rushing to bet Boston College either.
This is a fascinating one to me. It's Florida State now laying 7 in most spots, 6.5 as we sit here at Circa against Wake Forest. And you know how my mind thinks. Last thing we saw from Wake Forest was they were right there with Clemson, and now they're catching a touchdown on the road. To me, this is screaming, you know, the books want you to take the dog here in Wake Forest. Obviously, there's been market backing of Florida State. So do you agree with this move? 3 points from the opener in favor of the Noles.
I have this one Florida State -6. So if it got over 7, I could maybe make a case for taking Wake Forest. But that defense is deplorable. It's just bad, and it has been for a long period of time. So they're very reliant on Sam Hartman outscoring the other team. That's the only way that they win games, pretty much, is to win 38-35 or something like that. And Florida State, Mike Norvell's got them going in the right direction here. And Jordan Travis looks much improved from where he was a couple of years ago. I kind of want to buy on Florida State, but you know, my numbers kind of say that this line is pretty much where it should be.
All right. Another game, another team that we've mentioned already, Michigan State. They go to College Park. Your line is 7, and that's where the market has moved. So Maryland is now laying 7 against Michigan State. Maryland, I'll say this, very impressed. I talked about it during the week. I did not play this particular game. I should have probably followed the steam there because they were able to cover that, even though it got a little in question late. But Mike Locksley, historically, Adam, had struggled in these spots where, you know, Maryland gets off to a good start. They held their own. And even with a backup quarterback coming in late there with Leah getting hurt to his little brother. So the market now saying Maryland laying a touchdown against Sparty.
Yeah, and as I said, I mean, that's where I have the line on this game. But I think what is interesting is that anything that was over 7 isn't really anymore. And you even see a 6.5 here in town and also in the legal jurisdictions at Caesars with Michigan State +6.5. So coming down off the key number is interesting. And as you mentioned, Tagovailoa was banged up in that game last week. And I sort of wonder if we either get some speculative money, wondering how much below 100% he actually is, or if we see money that somebody's finding something out about, you know, kind of his availability going into this week's game. The question for me is, I mean, how can Michigan State get off the mat? I mean, this is a team that obviously is going in the wrong direction. They just got completely buried by Minnesota. They could get buried again this week, whether Tagovailoa plays or not. So I have no interest in betting Michigan State, but this is one of those cases, I think, where maybe some people are looking at Sparty and saying this is a buy low type of situation.
And I'll just say this, catching that fourth quarter, and now that, you know, defense was a bit soft for Michigan late in that game, the kid who came in for him, Billy Edwards, who went to Wake, transferred to Maryland, he's got some wheels. He's got a good arm. I was actually impressed by Billy Edwards, the kid who came in for Tagovailoa. All right, final one I want to mention here, and this could kind of be lumped into the letdown spot. The market, at least from open, is backing the Blue Raiders, which doesn't surprise me all that much. UTSA is visiting Murfreesboro on a Friday night this week. This game opened at Circa at 7, quickly got bet down, went as low as 4, bounced back up, and now it's sitting at 4. I think this is a really tricky spot for Middle Tennessee. Obviously, they celebrated, as they should, beating Miami like they did. UTSA, workmanlike effort, played Texas Southern, 1-by-4 touchdowns. You know, maybe they could kind of take a breath after their gauntlet to start the season where you had Houston overtime game, Army overtime game. Then you go to Texas, you're down a touchdown and a half. You ultimately lose by 3 touchdowns. I think situationally, they are at home. It's a tricky spot in my eyes for Middle Tennessee. I could see myself definitely on the Roadrunners on Friday night.
It is, and it's also a short week for the Blue Raiders, too, coming off of that big win over Miami. And UTSA, I'm not going to say it was a bye playing Texas Southern, but, you know,
glorified bye.
Yeah, that's exactly a glorified bye there. Look, my line's 5.5, so I'm kind of right in between the open and where the line currently sits. This is another situation, though, for me with UTSA where my priors, like my offseason work, I really liked the Roadrunners. I think they're a very well-coached team. The market was a little bit down on them because they had lost some of their returning production, particularly in the running game. But I thought this was still a really, really good team. And I still think that it is. But I could also understand why people like Middle Tennessee here, where last year, Middle Tennessee had to play four different quarterbacks. They had one guy retire. They had another guy in Cunningham who had all the passing yards last week. He wound up getting hurt about midway through the year when he had, I want to say, a 16-2 touchdown to interception ratio, 16-3, something like that. So I understand wanting to buy into Middle Tennessee. I just think maybe the market has lost some of its respect for UTSA, and this could be the type of game where it comes back.
Yeah, I haven't bet this game yet, but certainly would look towards the Roadrunners in this spot. A couple more things before we wrap it up here, Adam. I do want to point out the hurricane that is lurking here for the Florida, Carolinas, Georgia area. So Hurricane Ian, I guess, is expected to hit landfall on Thursday, from my understanding, maybe even earlier than that. The market is reacting like they know the path of this hurricane. So I'm just going to point these games out. You mentioned them too. Coastal Carolina, which is located in Myrtle Beach, is the total opened at circa 63.5, got to 69, and is now at time of recording as we're sitting here at 60. Coastal and Georgia Southern. Virginia Tech and UNC, this game is at UNC, open 60.5, got as low as 49, and is now at 51.5. And then Liberty at Old Dominion, Old Dominion located in the Hampton Roads area, Norfolk, Virginia, on the water as well, open 54.5. Has gotten down to 42, a 12-point move for Liberty and Old Dominion. I'm not going to pretend to be a meteorologist, but we got a week before these games are playing, and hurricanes can do a lot of weird things. They could just completely go away. They could shift one way or the other. Buyer beware on this situation, Adam, because people are betting this thing like they know exactly the pathway for Hurricane Ian.
Yeah, and some other games that moved about a touchdown or so on the total. North Carolina State, Clemson, Virginia, Duke. Texas State, James Madison's only moved down about a field goal, but that's one that may keep coming down. And then also UTEP and Charlotte is another one that had a pretty big move. And Charlotte's defense is god-awful. So for the total to come down there, that speaks to kind of the confidence level that bettors have of the path of this storm. And, you know, I was surprised to see this happen on Monday because, as you said, hurricanes can be very unpredictable. And there's a possibility that this thing shifts a little bit more west, kind of heads more up into the Gulf states where it impacts, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, stuff like that. But it looks like it's going to go into Florida and then roll up through Georgia and then on into the Carolinas. But as you said, we're still several days in advance of this weather system. But this is what sharp guys do. They're going to speculate and say, you know what? If this storm path goes the way it's expected to, we're talking probably 30 plus mile per hour winds. We're talking a lot of rain. And the biggest thing that moves totals from a weather standpoint is wind. And you're going to get wind with a system like this, depending on where it ends up going. So I was a little bit surprised to see it happen on Monday. That is a very high degree of confidence in the forecast. Typically, you see it happen kind of Tuesday evening into Wednesday morning, but that wasn't the case here with this one. So we'll see, because now this creates some really interesting middle opportunities. If the storm moves, or if someone decides, you know what, these are two bad run defenses, maybe I'll take this low over or something like that. But this is a really important thing. It's hurricane season. This is a very extreme weather event, obviously, so the lines do move. But as we're getting deeper into the fall here, you will get more wind. You will get more precipitation. You want to look in the mountain states, you know, for a lot of wind, stuff like that. You have to, before you lock in a wager, whether it's a side or a total, look at the weather forecast, because yeah, you'll see the line move on the total, but also if you're a team that throws the football a lot and all of a sudden it's going to be 25 mile per hour winds, that changes your offensive game plan. That changes the efficiency of your offense. So you can make side bets based on wind and rain and things of that sort as well.
people might remember, I do, because it was agony to watch this game. October of 2016, Notre Dame and NC State played in the middle of a hurricane. There was 311 total yards in that game. The teams combined to go 3 for 29 on third down, a whopping 10-3 final. NC State won that game, and Brian Kelly yelled at the center for not having quality shotgun snaps.
How many pass attempts did Notre Dame have in that game?
Probably way too many, if I remember correctly. DeShone Kizer in that game went 9 of 26. 26. Smart game plan. Notre Dame went 4-8 that year, by the way. All right, let's wrap things up with a couple letdown spots.
Let down and look ahead.
All right, Adam, we mentioned one, Middle Tennessee going to hosting UTSA. That line has moved to 4. Another is Wake Forest. Would you deem this a letdown spot for the Demon Deeks? They get an opportunity to go to Florida State. It's going to be a juiced up atmosphere. Florida State's a top 25 team. So I wouldn't say this fits your typical letdown spot, but for Wake Forest at home, double overtime, it felt like, against Clemson, and the market is reacting as if this will be a potential letdown spot for the Demon Deeks, as we mentioned, has moved from 4 to 6.5 or 7 in favor of the Seminoles.
Well, I wouldn't call it a glorified bye for Florida State, because they at least played an FBS team in Boston College, but I mean, they certainly didn't put out the energy
they didn't need
that
to.
Wake Forest did. Nope. So, and Florida State, again, I mean, I think this team is a lot better than people expected them to be because of how good Travis looks, because it just seems like they're going in the right direction. And I think it's intriguing when you get a game like this where you do have a clearly improving team like Florida State against a Wake Forest that we all know what Wake Forest is. I just talked about it. They have to win 38-35, 42-38, something like that. They don't stop teams. Their defense is not good. So I understand why this one's moving in the direction of Florida State. And look, like I said, I mean, if this line got to 7.5, my power ratings would tell me to take Wake Forest, but I'd be much more inclined to lay a 6 or 6.5 if I found one with Florida State.
One of my favorite bets this past week, and it was one of those ones where you get the opposition from the strong voices on Twitter telling you you're an idiot, and then it came home. They almost won outright. Oregon State right there with USC. They get a late touchdown to Jordan Addison. Do the Trojans. They win 17-14. By the way, USC just 4 more turnovers, 14-0 in turnover margin this year. But now you turn around your Oregon State. This was a physical game, great atmosphere. Now you got to go on the road and play Utah. They're a pretty hefty favorite here. Dog here against Utah. I think this is just... I like Oregon State a lot, so I don't know if I'll take the 10.5 because it feels like a lot of points, but man, it feels like after exerting all that energy, late night game, juiced up crowd, now you got to go on the road to play Utah and they just want to beat you up.
Yeah, and you got to play in elevation too, which is something that I think could be really challenging for Oregon State. I don't know if I'd lay the 10.5 full game. My line's 8.5 on this one, but I think you could very easily make a case for a Utah second half play, depending on how the first half of this game goes, or maybe the Beavers just run out of steam a little bit, you know, because as you mentioned, a very tough physical game. I'll also say this, and along those same lines, I would have loved to bet against USC this week. I have no interest in playing Arizona State,
though. No, I'm
no
good.
No interest at all.
Pass. That's a team that USC, it feels like, will just... Caleb Williams was off against Oregon State, and I feel like that's a get-right opportunity there for Caleb Williams.
I got a couple spots I want to ask you about here. Yep. This is one that really stood out to me, and I'm kind of intrigued by the line movement here. It's an early kickoff between Georgia State and Army. So I know that Georgia State had a little bit of extra time to prep for the triple option, but you go in the middle of conference play... travel all the way up to West Point with a Georgia State team that's 0-4 and really hasn't looked that good in the process. Obviously, when you're 0-4, you're not going to look that good. But I don't think Army is great, but I have this game a little bit higher than the market number. I have it 11, and you can find 7.5 out there with Army. This seems like a really precarious spot for Georgia State.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired of losing money on Georgia State. I bet them against Coastal. I know you didn't, so that was a good call by you. So, yeah, this is a tricky spot, though, for sure, when you look at Georgia State and what's their mindset after just getting housed by Coastal Carolina in a primetime opportunity on a weekday. So yeah, you go up there. You know, we've looked at Army. I liked Army against UTSA. Obviously, that game went to overtime. But that was a game that, you know, I kind of had an eye on and didn't ultimately come home. You know, I want to go back to another game that we mentioned earlier in the show, and you bumped this team up in your power ratings, and that's Washington State. You know, what is their mindset right now after just having a victory completely snatched away from them against Oregon? And now you turn around and you're a home favorite against Cal. Look, they played Arizona. I've been impressed by Arizona. Jaden Ott, the freshman running back, ran for 274 yards in this game. Jack Plummer threw for 245. Cal, to an extent, impressed me in South Bend. And, you know, this performance that they had against Arizona, by the way, that UNLV win looks a little bit better each and every week. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Cal catching four up at the Palouse. This just seems like, where is Washington State's mind going to be after having Oregon done? They were dead to rights. They lose that game. And now you got to play Cal. And you know playing Cal is always a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'll say this. My line is six, but I did bump both of these teams up. For this week, I just made a little bit bigger of an adjustment. Washington State, I moved up four. Cal, I moved up 2.5. That point and a half difference is kind of where the line is in the market. But to that point, you know, I mentioned this earlier when I was talking about moving Washington State up. So we don't really know a whole lot about Jake Dickert, and we don't really know about how he's going to fare in a situation like this, being the head coach. Because a lot of times when you talk about these situational spots, it comes down to the coach. It comes down to the coach being able to help the players have a short memory, figure out, you know, the problem areas that they had. And obviously for them, their biggest problem in that game was simply finishing it. You know, they had that game won and they weren't able to put it away. Now they take on a Cal team that, you know, wants to run the football, wants to be pretty physical. I would be concerned about Washington State in that spot. I don't know if it's a game that I'll bet necessarily, but it is another one where if a second half opportunity presents itself, that may be something I jump on.
And it's not a night game. It's kind of a weird, it's 2:30 local kickoff. So it's not a game that you would think Washington State, after losing that game, would be fired up to tackle there. Final one, and we'll wrap on this, because this game should be the way you wrap up a podcast. JMU, thank you, Dukes. Outright winner. Well done. And now you turn around and you get the mighty Bobcats at Texas State. I would think this is a pretty big letdown spot. Home game, 1:30 local kick against Texas State. Texas State is coming off of a walloping of Houston Christian. Tricky spot for JMU, laying 23 right now against Texas State.
Yeah, it's a really big number, certainly. And I would say this, if James Madison didn't have, I venture to call it an elite defense, I would be on Texas State here. But James Madison has a really, really good defense, and this could be another one of the games impacted by the remnants of Hurricane Ian as it moves up the East Coast, where we haven't seen a huge move on this total as of yet, but it could be one that winds up having a pretty sizable move by kickoff. So for me, it would be Texas State or nothing in this game, but James Madison has also proven me wrong at multiple junctures already this season. So I don't know if I want to step in front of that train. But, you know, look, obviously a huge win for them over App State. App State was the poster child of going from FCS to FBS and being a really good football program. For James Madison to beat them, I'm not going to call it a passing of the torch or anything like that, but I'm sure that, you know, the program and the players really appreciate how much that means. Is there a hangover this week, I think, is a fair question.
Yeah, and something we pointed out, you know, this wasn't just your average FCS program that was transitioning. This is a team that was probably the second best FCS program over the last decade to North Dakota State. Jeff Sagarin had his ratings where he combines, I think you pointed this out, FBS and FCS rankings. They were 67th last year, which would have been fourth best in the Sun Belt. So it wasn't like it was a big shock. But now you got to turn it around and play another FBS team. There's no, you know, I don't want to insert a FCS team that maybe is pretty good, but we will see. Certainly a game to keep an eye on there as a potential letdown spot.
A few things I just kind of want to mention, generally speaking, about the market that are pretty intriguing here this week. UNLV is a double-digit favorite against a Power 5 team, which is something I don't think we've seen since 2018. And New Mexico State And we talked about a little bit about New Mexico State and Hawaii last week.
I'm so mad I didn't bet that game.
They hammered Hawaii in the first half of that game. Hawaii is awful. But New Mexico State, now FIU lost 73-0 last week
to Western Kentucky.
But New Mexico State is laying double digits against FIU. And this is a New Mexico State team that's like not favored, period, throughout the course of the regular season. And they're laying double digits against FIU. I mean, it's remarkable. And again, they're laying two touchdowns, more than that, in that game. So it's just remarkable the challenge that you have with college football of thinking about the past. You know, a lot of people are trends bettors or think about historical outliers, stuff like that. How you have to, in the span of 4 weeks, just kind of erase a lot of things from your memory to just sort of look at the present. And that's something that I can tell you, as somebody who's been doing this for over a decade, that's something that I still struggle with, is realizing that what's in the present is what matters with teams like UNLV, with teams like, you know, New Mexico State, at least this week. Bowling Green is a big favorite on the road against Akron. Like, these teams that aren't really accustomed to these sizable favorite roles being in them, it's a mental hurdle that you have to get over, but it can be very, very difficult.
Follow Adam on Twitter at Skating Tripods. You can follow me at 1TimMurray. We'll be back on Thursday, myself and Matt Eumanns, breaking down the Week 5 card in its entirety. Also, check out VSiN.com. Myself, Adam, Jeff Parles, Danny Burke. We all have our best bets on VSiN.com, so make sure to check out that. Once again, please rate, review, subscribe to the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. For Adam Burke, I'm Tim Murray, back on Thursday with Matt Eumanns.